Welcome to the Humans and AI podcast, powered by AI Frontier Network. I'm your host, Flor La Orga. Each episode, we dive into the human story shaping artificial intelligence through the journeys of entrepreneurs, builders, and leaders. We explore the insights, challenges, and visions for the future of AI and humanity. Let's uncover the human side of AI together. Okay, great. Arun, very nice to meet you. Thanks for joining the Humans and AI podcast. Yeah, I'm very excited to start this conversation. So,
same here, Flor. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. So, Arun, you've got a very interesting career, I have to say. So, looking back at your journey, you studied electronics engineering. And you became a senior leader in digital payments and commerce. So what got you interested in technology and finance?
First off, Laura, in some ways, I would say at that time, I was not planning my career as such. Some of those things probably, just like many other graduates, fall into place. So that's how it fell into place. Now, as a kid, when somebody asked me, what do you want to be? It used to be engineer is what I used to respond. So that's why I went into that electronic engineering space. Once I got there, it was, okay, how do I enjoyed the business aspect of the engineering more. And so I was always thinking of, okay, how can I do some more of the business side of the engineering, which then got me into an engineering role, which then led to the business roles in engineering.
So what right now you have your current role is Senior Vice President and General Manager of Healthcare and Corporate at Transact Plus Seaboard. So basically, right now you are leading healthcare and corporate solutions. What drew you to this space at this stage in your career?
The exciting part about healthcare, coming from where I came from, a very financial services background, as you pointed out earlier, healthcare was very exciting when I saw this opportunity, because now I was taking some of the lessons learned, I felt, in financial services and how I was building platforms and capabilities, or my teams were, for the financial health of our customers. And now it was, oh, I can help with the health of actual patients and residents and others. So that was a point where I felt it was a great opportunity for me to explore and learn. And it's been a great journey the last year on that.
Great. And what personal values or experiences guide that transition?
Yeah. So I used to joke when I was actually, not joke in the joking way, but it was because we used to do financial services and we would do payments and very large scale payments and things like that. And I used to tell my teams at that point, we have to be very mindful, because if we make a mistake with moving money or payment, we could actually create a health problem for people. People might get a heart attack or something if they saw their bank balance drained or something. So we have to be very careful on that and think about those things as we build our tech and build our automation and capabilities. And so taking that same and now actually helping those that may have had issues or may have health problems and helping them have that really good experience while they're in that midst of a challenging situation is what excites me and what interests me as we look at it.
Beautiful. And how have they influenced the way you lead today, those values that you've got?
I think two things stand at mind. One, just caring about first, the operators that service this, because we are providing technology to these operators. So I always, building solutions, building capabilities, it was always about how do we make sure that we're giving the operators the right tools, the best capabilities so they can service their end customers. And then also the second part to that is they are always thinking about how to do the right thing for their end customers and their end users. And so as we think of building solutions, as we think of building capabilities and products, those are the two main constituents that the team always is thinking about. What is the right thing for the operator? What is the right thing for that patient or that student or guest that they're trying to serve in their facility?
Yeah, I also saw on some of your on social media that you've done something related with hospital food service and patient care. Knowing that, how do you have any use case that you use AI to help in the process to care about the patient, but at the same time using technology? So also, how do you balance that?
Yeah, so we've done quite a few things when it comes to patient technology. One, we developed a patient application, a mobile application, so that the patient can order their food themselves. And the beauty of that solution also is that the patient has only gets the options in their menu when they're selecting based on the food that they're allowed to eat. Right. So if they are required to have a liquid only meal or a non-solid meal, then the options that they see in their menu, what they can order are those options, which makes it very personal for them. And they are not getting frustrated with ordering something that they can't really get or are denied later on. So we're always thinking of how do we make the solution that we build very personal for the patient and make sure that they are feeling respected and they are feeling like they are being known. We know them and that we're serving them with what their needs are.
Yeah, do you have real use case or kind of or example that and that happened that they used your app and was so they were, whoa, that's just amazing. Because I feel like fortunately I haven't have to be in a hospital that long to need to get stay there and get food. But I know that many people do. And I think it's very cool because you are kind of in the hospital and you can just, oh, I'm like DoorDash, right? Where you're kind of choosing your own food. But this you do it in the hospital with the things that you can eat. So yeah, you've got any kind of real work experience about a patient very happy about it or yeah.
We get that a lot of times. We get feedback from our clients when they hear from their patients. I've been to many hospitals myself and visited the operations, and the staff is always kind of sharing stories how a particular patient was really happy when they saw that. There are clients that actually have helped us create videos where they've been able to see that patient experience and shared that with us. And it's very heartening to see that and be proud that we're part of that experience, that we're helping them in that experience with their patients.
Thanks. So, what are the challenges that you think that are unique for the healthcare when it comes to digital transformation? Because the healthcare is a lot about patient care. So this, I feel like there's, in my opinion, there's a lot of connection with the human side of people, right? Because we are humans, and this you're suffering or something happening, we have a problem. So, what is the challenge you think with this digital transformation that we are going on right now?
Sure. So I would say two things. One, we get people that enter that servicing area, patient, they want to really service. They go in with that mindset that they're going to actually take care of the people that need it. Unfortunately, because of the lack of digital transformation, like you said, they're spending more of their time on some of the tedious tasks or making sure they're balancing reports or manually updating spreadsheets or manually updating certain things, which takes them away from doing exactly what they really wanted to do, which is actually service those patients and those people. And then, secondly, what that leads to is they get used to that over time. And then they know that's what they know, that's what they do on a day-to-day basis. And so when we talk of a digital transformation for them, it is a change and they understand that it's a good change, but it's changing what they've learned and having to unlearn only to be able to do the thing that they attracted them to. So it's just that education piece, making sure they understand that this is not about eliminating their job, it's not about reducing costs, it's more about giving them the right tools and the right capabilities and technology that helps them do what they really signed up to do when they took that, or why they wanted to go into that area.
Yeah, so it's basically technology, like right now, it's mostly everything's about AI. It's going to enhance efficiency, right? So basically, that's your job, make sure that they are making these systems more efficient. So do you think for the employees, the people who works in, the people who work on, at the hospitals, do you think that in your opinion and what you've seen, do they embrace that technology, the technology of AI? Like very, they embrace it very, it's amazing, or they embrace it because they don't have any other choice?
So I believe people are all, and including people like us, we're all at a different level of spectrum when it comes to embracing AI. I personally look at myself, and there are days when I, or moments where I feel AI is the best thing. And then there I, when I see the hallucinations in AI, then I feel like, okay, this is a problem. This is going to create an issue. And I think the biggest part around healthcare is patient safety. The number one priority for any healthcare organization is around patient safety. So we embrace that as the number one goal for us. And how do we build any solutions? How do we build any AI capabilities? And how do we help make sure we're always coaching our clients, employees, operators, with that mindset? And so where we are looking at and how we are going forward is making sure there's a human in the loop in all these decisions, so they can feel confident that this is providing a recommendation yet and not actually doing the work for them or automating it. And that's a, that's at least the place where we're always thinking of and starting right now, because we want to make sure people can get comfortable with these AI capabilities, comfortable that the hallucinations are not going to impact patient safety, and keep that engagement that they have, that patient interaction and the patient care that they can provide in a more human way than just technology replacing them.
Yeah, makes sense. So Arun, do you have any leader or expert in healthcare that you like to follow or you admire?
There are quite a few. I wouldn't say in healthcare per se, but I follow a lot of innovators online, and I'm always taking their input in the context of AI overall, and always thinking of how do I adapt that within the solution and the products that we provide. The second I would say probably is my team. My team is a great team. I have on my team dietitians, registered dietitians themselves, and they are a great source of knowing what our clients are thinking of, and they're all, because they've lived in their shoes, and providing that input into how we build our products, how we build AI into our solutions. So I would say those are my two avenues, my team and these followers out there that are innovators.
That's so good. For the first, because I don't really know your team, to be honest, but for the first people that said that, you, do you have any kind of someone in mind, like a name or someone? Because I'd be interested. For the first group,
sorry, I did not catch
that. But for the first group of people, you said that you have some leaders that you follow. So do you have any name in mind?
I would say Pascal Bouvier. He's one of those on the LinkedIn. I follow him quite a bit. I listen to a lot of podcasts. One of the podcasts that I listen, or two that I listen to, are the Everyday AI Show, just to keep up with what's happening in there. And then Lenny's podcast, where they are talking about how to bring AI into products, into capabilities, into that, and how to not only think of the product and the capability, but how do you implement that? How do you create plans and structure so that happens better? So I would say those are the individuals that I listen to right now.
That's great, because thanks for sharing, because I feel like there's so much information about AI and everybody takes the information from different sources, right? So I feel like I kind of like to ask these kind of like things to when I interview guests, because I found it very interesting. Where do you get the information from AI? What do you, like, who are you trusting? I found it such a kind of, it's, that's like, actually another topic, it's a big topic. Like, there's so much things going on, and you just don't know sometimes, right? Like where to look.
Yeah, actually, Flora, that actually reminds me of one other person that I've actually has helped me a lot. Her name is Jennifer Moll. She's a partner of ours. We actually leverage or use their product for some of our capabilities that we have. So she's been a great source for me. I wanted to call her out. She's been a great source for me to learn AI and capabilities as she's and sharing a lot of her expertise with us and the learning. So I definitely wanted to call her out.
Thanks for sharing. I think this is always good to know what other leaders are like following and listening. It can be useful as well. Okay, Arun. So where do you see AI having the most immediate human-centered impact in healthcare?
Great. So multiple places, actually. And so that's one of the areas where we're really honing in on right now. Where we, from our vantage point, look at AI is how do we help the operators that we service make their operations more simpler, right? So that they can get their information quicker. They're not having to search or create multiple reports and analyze those reports and review it. So that is one area where we've seen our clients and their operators really challenged with. And I believe that's actually a good solution for us to help them with automating that, with bringing these different data sources together, leveraging AI, and being able to provide them with a recommendation of what actions they need to take rather than them manually going and doing all these steps every day or every ever so frequently. So I would say definitely the first area we're looking at is how do we help them with their operations and their operational efficiency.
Okay, great. So I saw something that you wrote not long ago, which was, by 2026, we could be short more than 3 million healthcare workers. That's not just alarming, it's unsustainable. Would you mind to talk a little bit more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we do our research, there's a need or growth in healthcare significantly. People are needing more healthcare. They're living longer, right? And so that's why they are going to need more health capable facilities. And so we look at that and we saw the need of the growth that's happening out there. There's so many hospitals being built out in the world, in the country and over the world for that. So we see that shortage of training coming out, of trained technicians coming out and helping that. And we see that as an opportunity where AI can really step in and help with that. How can we reduce the overhead work or the tedious work for these people so they can actually service their patients better? Again, that's where we look at and say that is a great opportunity for that to overcome that shortage.
Interesting. Talking about people living longer, what are your thoughts about longevity?
It's an interesting topic. I'm on the other side of 50 now, and I don't feel like 50 right now. And somebody was joking with me and said, 50 is the new 40. And so I believe that is going to be true. It is true. It feels true. But then there are days when I wake up with a backache after playing tennis. And so that there's a aspect of what I feel is, yes, the longevity is going to be there, but it's not going to be a smooth ride of longevity. It's going to be ups and downs, a lot more ups and downs, and more frequent ups and downs. That's what I think of.
I'm just going to ask, I'm very curious about that. I've got a lot of friends very into it. I'm already 30 right now, to be honest with you. But most of my friends are older than me. By the way, the 30s are the new 20s then. I don't know. And so I'm 20 now.
Yeah.
So I think that thing about healthcare and people wanting to live longer and longevity, it's going to be a big thing going on because it's happening already. And with the new generations, it's crazy. So I was curious about, because you're working in healthcare inside that. And so I was curious about your perspective. So Arun, talking a little bit about responsible AI in healthcare, What does mean for you, a responsible AI for healthcare? I mean, in healthcare, in your field.
Sure. So the number one thing in AI when it comes to healthcare, and I talked a little bit earlier about, is making sure it's about patient safety. You have to start with that angle, right? You are actually very close to impacting a patient's health very adversely if you're not doing it the right way. So that is always the number one area that we have to think of, and we look at it as the number one responsibility of how do you build responsible AI. The second area, I would say, is around how do you make sure that you're helping the operators identify patterns, identify information, and making sure that they're seeing the risks or understanding the risk of any action that they're going to take better and with more information and more data at their disposal than they've ever had before to make those decisions. So I would say those are the two things of very important when it comes to responsible AI. That's where we look at and where we think of from our perspective.
Great. So thinking a little bit more about the future, some people, by the way, don't believe in future. Some leaders were telling me, no, the future is now. There's no future. It's now. It's always the present. Like, okay. So I don't know what is your thought about that, but yeah, talking a little bit about the future, how do you see AI playing a role in the future of healthcare?
So I am of the opinion, I would say, first off, there is a future. There is a future beyond AI. As much as we talk about AI right now, there's a future beyond, and it's going to be even better. I think for us as a human race, we have to always think of how are we going to make things easier for our clients, for our partners, for our people over the world using AI. And as we build stuff, as we think of things of how we should go about it, we're always thinking in terms of a future of 3 to 5 years out, maybe now more so 3 years than a 5 years before. Because even if you look at ChatGPT, I've heard somewhere between 500 to 700 million users. Great. But that is really 1/10 of the world population, right? So only 10% of the world population that is using that most famous AI tool out there in the world right now. So there's a great bunch of population that has not yet been exposed to it or is not using it as frequently. So how do we make sure we're taking that and building that on top of that and taking it to beyond everyone and expanding? And many people may actually see AI touching them today, they just don't know about it. And so there's a responsibility for all of us as leaders to get that advantage of AI across all constituents in the world.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about what you said, and it's like, there's actually, we think that everybody using AI, right? ChatGPT is available for everybody, but it's available for most of the Western world. And then some reach of like in countries in Asia, and obviously Middle East is pretty rich too, but I don't think that many people in Africa are using them. So that's also a very good insight, actually. It was very well. Great, Arun. Do you have any advice or that you would like to give to someone who is starting their career or wants to go into healthcare? Yeah.
Yeah, the advice I would give is healthcare is a great area. We have a very distinct opportunity to help people and help people that are in the most need and the most disadvantaged in some way, shape, or form, whether they're a resident or a senior or a patient. And it's an area where there's so much change happening, so much new, whether it's AI or not AI related, that's happening out there. It's exciting times, and you have the opportunity to actually make a change. So if you want to make a change, this is one area that you should definitely consider as a young person going into the world. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a doctor or a nurse. Look at us. We don't have any medical degrees, but even by an engineering degree, I'm actually being able to serve in the healthcare space.
Yeah, that's what I found very interesting about you, actually, because you're kind of engineering completely nothing to be like related with healthcare, but then you end up in healthcare and it seems like you love it. And I can see that. So that's great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arun. Thanks very much for this conversation. I enjoy it very much, to be honest with you. So thank you.
Thank you, Flora. I enjoyed it too. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.